We are back with special guest co-host Jim Bohannon. It's so cool to have you in the studio.
I appreciate that, Tim. I'll be back on the air on Wednesday night. We hope to have on Bill O'Reilly to talk about his new book, Killing Murdoch. So, but actually, he does have a book tour scheduled.
Oh, does he?
Which I'm sure has been canceled. We're still trying to get him on, but of course, I mean, I know Bill a little bit. I've been on his show. He's been on my show. But, I mean, we'd have to explain. You know, Bill, you, above all people, know we got to bring it up.
Yeah.
And we'll let you say your side of it, you know, but we can't ignore it.
You know, the interesting – now, apparently, this morning, I'm seeing similar accusations leveled against Sean Hannity.
Really?
Just was crossing the news headlines as I was perusing them this morning.
And I know Sean a little bit better than I know Bill. And, frankly, that would surprise the daylights out of me.
And – you know, I look at those things. When you have an incidental, and this right now apparently is one woman talking about what Sean Hannity said to her and whether or not this turns out to be true or not. But when you get this mounting evidence of, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12 women who have similar stories.
For Bill Cosby or whatever.
Yeah.
How many with Bill is it? Five that they settled with? Five women?
I think that's
million?
Right. Yeah.
After a while, how many gold diggers are there out there? How many people are willing to drag themselves into a public spectacle like this? Numbers add a certain level of credibility.
I think so as well. And I also think that, you know, culture has changed significantly in that regard in the last 30 years. I remember when this company first added its anti-sexual harassment policy that, you know, in particularly industries that were kind of quote unquote ruled by men, as women started to come into positions in those same sorts of industries, guys didn't know how to stop being guys and show some respect.
Yeah,
in a lot of cases.
I was, I guess, raised well.
As was I.
In all truthfulness, I've got to say that I don't remember ever saying anything like that. You know, I mean, this, hey, you sure looking hot today, mama. Mm-hmm. Don't you turn around. Let me check everything.
Yeah,
I mean, I've never done that. To me, for one thing, even if I was on the prowl, that struck me as a terrible opening line.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A little more subtlety, maybe. Don't be a Mack truck doing wheelies. Just be subtle, you know? So,
and I think a lot of us, especially Midwest, I think more so even maybe that whole, but out on the coast, I'm just trying to, you know, find a theory that fits the facts that are coming out, because otherwise, what in the world is it? Or is it just that when you get to a certain level of wealth and power that you become a scumbag overall?
Boundless sense of entitlement. I'm rich. I'm automatically, well, you know, as I have said on more than one occasion, if I had a dollar for every woman who doesn't find me attractive, eventually they'd find me attractive.
We had a question, a caller didn't want to go on the air, but Venezuelan government and General Motors plant out there.
Venezuela has nationalized that plant.
They just took it over.
They pulled a Fidel Castro on it.
And General Motors... As I followed the story, basically said, okay, we're done.
We'll just dust off our plant in Janesville.
Wouldn't that be great?
Thank you, Venezuela.
I don't know what the dynamics of the workforce are. Yeah. You know, Venezuela, I'm sure, can continue to operate the plant. They've basically just taken it over by what we would consider to be some sort of eminent domain, I guess, and said, it's our plant now, and we're going to continue making cars
in this country.
No,
I mean, there'd be a total embargo on
right,
it, and there ought to be a total embargo on their whole economy, and mm-hmm. that Hugo Chavez successor government has brought crashing down.
But apparently they have the ability to do it. I won't call it a right because I don't think
zero right to do it. And again, I'm not sure what they're going to make. I mean, counterfeit Chevys?
If the idea was to force an Americanized company out because that was somehow...
So fine. We ought to throw a total embargo on everything Venezuelan,
blockage. You can live as an island nation?
You want to live as a third world hellhole? Then goodbye.
Yeah, see you bye. But... interesting. It was an interesting dynamic, and GM is down a plant, I guess, to that degree. But all it means is probably they won't be selling cars in Venezuela, and they probably at this point could care less if they were selling any more.
Well, I mean, I assume that if you have the raw materials, I guess you could keep making cars. But is it a plant that makes entire Chevys, or does it make or whatever? Does it make complete cars?
I don't know for sure.
Because I'll guarantee you, if it makes like bodies and frames, but not other components, there's no way that General Motors is gonna sell them the parts necessary to make a car, unless this plant has access to every part of a car,
which would be uncommon.
I mean, a lot of car plants don't make entire automobiles.
Right. Even if they assemble stuff that's made elsewhere. The parts come in from all
exactly.
over the place. You have an
so where do you get
this
the parts?
This here was an assembly plant.
Yeah, so where do you get...
I don't know what was made here, but largely everything was shipped in, and it was all assembled.
So where do you get the stuff that's shipped in now?
Right.
I guarantee you that nothing from this country is going in.
No.
And if any other country that had a deal with General Motors said, well, yeah, we did sell some fenders, actually. And General Motors' reply would be, well, you're not selling them another fender, or else you're not selling us another fender. Mm-hmm. So you better decide who you'd rather deal with.
Yeah.
Because you're not selling Venezuela
anymore.
Pretty
short
fenders.
Conversation in most cases.
It would be very short. Yeah. And it should be.
Jimbo, I want to talk about this weekend a little bit with you. Theoretically, we stopped calling it a fiscal cliff. I don't know if that's too scary now, or if that we don't have enough, because there's the debt ceiling, there's the appropriations bill running out, and there's a couple other factors. I guess that all converge on that fiscal cliff conversation. We don't have all of those
shutdown,
but we have a government shutdown looming if the government runs out of money because Congress doesn't appropriate funds, which is Congress's job. And apparently, we need to appropriate funds by Sunday.
We need, in this country, first of all, two things that we're not going to get, but we need desperately. One is a balanced budget constitutional amendment with teeth. I would prefer a surplus budget amendment, which, except in times of a declared war or 25% unemployment, would commit at least 1% of all revenues to the debt. And the second thing we need is an amendment, which is now currently out there. I'm not sure if the balanced budget amendment still is, but this one is now bubbling out there. It is called No Budget, No Pay. Members of Congress shall not be paid unless they issue a budget at whatever periodic amount of time is involved. Now, you will not get either one of these passed as a constitutional amendment the way we currently do it, which is to say it has to pass Congress by a two-thirds vote and then be approved by three-quarters of the state legislatures. That's why it is desperate that we have, for those issues and a few others, an Article 5 constitutional convention, which is in the Constitution and which can also propose constitutional amendments, including some that Congress would never agree to. And then those could go to the states for three-quarters of the states to ratify. So that's a long way to say that's what we need to do.
That's what we need to do because the likelihood of them shutting down the government, I think, is small. Both parties have learned that's a disaster.
Well, I mean, the public, I'll put it this way, if it were up to me, shut it down. Mm-hmm. It's high time we had some fiscal responsibility. But there are far too many people out there who are used to sucking up on the official government breast that this would hurt the party that let it happen. And Republicans always get the blame for it.
Yeah. So they'll probably just do, what do they call that?
A continuing resolution
to continue to spend money the way we've been spending money, which, yes, due to changes in the ebb and flow of tax revenue and those kinds of things, changes the number, but the current budget is a deficit budget. It runs a deficit.
Of course, it always runs.
So to continue that is the definition of irresponsibility, at the very least, but that's probably what we're going to do to get past this next little.
Until you force Congress into this kind of accountability, you're not going to see any change made. And another thing that has to be done, an absolute ban on earmarks. All amendments to legislation must be germane to the legislation. The notion of somebody sitting on a hot subcommittee or a committee bribing their constituents by bringing home the bacon. For me, if I've had a member of Congress who brought home the bacon, that was always a reason to vote against them. Now, sometimes I wound up voting for them because there were plus factors that outweighed that.
Yeah.
But bringing home the bacon and busting the budget was always a vote against. And for any responsible American, it still is.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. You mentioned this constitutional convention, which isn't getting a lot of press right now, but there's a number of states kind of in line trying to do this, Wisconsin included.
We're going to do a show on that very shortly.
And there's already great debate as to whether or not this it is constitutional, obviously,
very much so,
but it would be the first time it's ever happened.
Well, that's true. We have 27 amendments to the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Every one of them has been proposed by the other method outlined
right.
in the Constitution. Passage by the House and the Senate, 2/3 votes, and approval by 3/4 of the state legislatures. But this other method of doing so is in the Constitution. So there's not even a question, not a hint of a real question about whether you can do it
no,
that way.
There's
you
not.
Can.
But what I've seen now circulating those conversations is, well, this would be a sort of a referendum on the Constitution, because you could create so much change to the Constitution within this constitutional Congress.
The Constitutive Convention,
except
for one thing, that is to say a runaway convention. There's a quick answer to that. It doesn't matter. A constitutional convention could propose that only left-handed people can vote. A constitutional convention could propose that only cross-eyed people could vote. Because that doesn't change the Constitution. A constitutional convention can only recommend. And you're not going to get a wacky idea passed by 3/4 of the state legislatures. It's not going to happen. So this whole notion about a runaway convention is bogus. A constitutional convention, to repeat, may not change the Constitution. It may recommend changes. The wacky ideas would never get ratified.
All right, so don't panic about it. I think it's an interesting dynamic that's playing out. Again,
we've
seen a lot of history
a lot.
In the last few years here. It'll be interesting. I won't be alive to see how it reads.
Well, unfortunately, true. I mean, right now we're in a great national debate about that fiscal cliff. Whether do we want to run off that cliff at 60 miles an hour or 30 miles an hour? Nobody's talking about putting on the brakes and not going off the cliff. It's how much deficit spending we want to propose. The national debt is $20 trillion. What's the tipping point? 30? 35? I mean, the way Trump's going, if you're a deficit hawk, you'll look back on Obama as the good old days.
Yeah.
I guarantee you there are people alive today who will live to see the point where we can say, are we about to become Greece? Are we about to go over the fiscal cliff? Is the dollar about to become as worthless as the German mark in the 1920s? Folks, sooner or later, somebody has got to say, enough, stop, draw the line, no more deficit spending.
And that's not going to be this week.
Because we love a free ride. Boy, we talk a good game to the contrary, but nobody loves a free lunch more than Americans
mm-hmm.
do. Let our kids and grandkids pay for it.
And that's, well, I don't even know. I pull up the debt clock every once in a while, but it depresses me.
Yeah, debtclock.org. Mm-hmm. I urge all of you out there to check that website.
It will tell you how much your share is.
It does. But I
think the last time I looked, my share was like $60,000.
That's pretty close, yeah. But in the upper left-hand corner is the big number. On the page, there are probably 40 or 50 numbers, and they're very interesting. But you're right. You can find out how much of the share of the debt is yours and the total national debt, which as we speak is $19 trillion and getting really close to $20
trillion. Trillion. Yep. Yeah. All right. Jim Bohannon continues to sit in as we talk tornado chasing, storm chasing. I have so many questions about this. I'm kind of a weather geek myself.
I have a story to tell when he comes on because I once chased a tornado.
All right. But this whole, you know, I want to, do you get to drive through farmers' cornfields? Do you get to do all that stuff? I don't know, but we'll find out. Alex Golton, I don't even know if you get certified in this, but a storm chaser
is what you get.
with a business up and running. And we'll talk about that when we come back after the break on your talk show on WCLO, Janesville, Beloit.